And John chapter 6. I wanted to share for a few minutes on our new reality. John 6. And I was just thinking that there are few that understand that within the world there is the reality of a spiritual kingdom. That is not something that people really understand or think about that much. The interesting thing is that though they don't really maybe know about it or think about it, their lives are affected by the spiritual world, and people don't even know it. They don't understand that. Not only that, people's lives are subject to the spiritual world as well. And people are generally oblivious to that. Christians included, many times. And people in the world, I'm sure you've heard them all, you know, when you're talking in your conversations at work and so forth, people invent terms and labels to try to explain the manifestations of the spiritual kingdom, right? They use words, but they have no knowledge what the source of those things is. They kind of see some effects of it because the spiritual realm, as you know, has a great bearing on what happens in the natural realm. And many times people see the effects of it, but they don't understand that there's a source behind it. Now those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ should come to the day-by-day recognition of the spiritual kingdom. And to really understand that the spiritual world, since you got turned to God, is your new reality. That's you're the spiritual world is should be more real to us than the natural world. The problem is we've lived in the natural world most of our lives, and we're subject to its laws and the ways people think in that world, and that carries over once you're a believer, and we don't always take the time to correct that thinking that we've lived with all our lives. But make no mistake about it, you know, you have moved into the spiritual kingdom by making Jesus your Lord. And that's an amazing change in life. Many times, believers still choose to live by the thinking and the effects of the natural world. And that can be detrimental to us. Here, the interesting thing is, in the spiritual world, there are different rules and ways of thinking that are in effect than in the natural world. There are things that work in the spiritual world that people have no knowledge of in the natural world. I'll look at just a couple of those today. And we as believers should be the experts of those things and rules and ways of thinking that apply to the spiritual world. The world of the spirit is not governed by the same rules in the natural world. In John chapter 6, that intro, look at John chapter 6, please. Verse 63. This is Jesus Christ speaking. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, words, he's speaking words, that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Words spoken. Whose words was he speaking? God's words, right? God is the one who told him what to always do, the Father's will, and all those things we know and understand about Jesus Christ. The words that he was speaking were God's words. So God, who is spirit. See, the words that he's speaking come from the spiritual realm. They don't come from the natural realm. So when Jesus Christ was speaking, they were spirit and they were life. And that the authority of God behind them, and what Jesus Christ was saying, John chapter 14. There's a lot of this in the book of John. What realm does God inhabit? The spiritual realm. So you cannot ever, you know, Paul, you were talking about the depth of God's word. Like, clearly, because it comes from the spiritual realm. It's not something, you know, you could probably, and, you know, probably definitely take a secular novel and analyze it until there's just no more analysis left. Did that in school. But the word of God, because it is, the origin is not the natural realm. Immeasurable depth. In John chapter 14, verse 10, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." You see, what backed up the words he was speaking that came from the spiritual realm was God. God made sure that the works got done. He's behind the words that he inspires or that he himself speaks. He's behind that. And Jesus Christ said, well, he doeth the works. Verse 11, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Very clear what was about to happen. Very clear the difference between what they were and what they were going to be. In Hebrews chapter 4, the Word of God is backed up by God, who is in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, the Word of God has full sway and full authority. And that's why it's not just another book, like many think. It is not just another book among the other books. We know that. It's not just another book among the other books. The other books come from, you know, most for the most part, unless it's inspired by God, from the natural realm. But the Word of God didn't originate there. So when you believe the Word of God, and we'll look at it in a second, it puts you in touch with what is true in the spiritual realm. The problem is, many times we try to still apply the things we understand of the senses realm to the Word of God, the things that it produces, and we oughtn't to do that. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." See, it divides the natural from the spiritual. The Word of God does that. "And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." It is not in the category of self-help books. You know, where you read a book and tells you how to behave at a wedding or something, etiquette. You know, teaches you books on how to have more confidence in life. You know, stand in the mirror and repeat after yourself, "I have more confidence, I have more confidence." You know, and then you get more confidence, fine. That's not the category. Those things are not backed up by he who lives in the spiritual realm. But God's word is. So when you believe God's word, it's not the same as a self-help book. There is our spiritual power behind these words. So when God says something, you can stake your life on it. In Romans chapter 10 is the greatest example that I know of. We all know this verse, but it's a very interesting reality compared to what we're looking at today. In Romans chapter 10, You know, verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So here you are, words, okay? They're just words. Words on a page written down. And they say simply that if you confess Jesus with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So just those words are natural words. They're just words on a page, are they not? But what happened when you believed those words? What took place in your life? You received Holy Spirit. You received eternal life. You were saved all of a sudden from a wrath that is surely coming. We know that's coming. And just by believing these words, all these spiritual things happen that the spiritual kingdom backs up. Here, in this case, it's God. And you were the beneficiary. And all you did was believe words on a page. Like, is there a novel you know about that does this for you? That says, well, you believe these words, and all of a sudden these spiritual realities follow. No, that's the Word of God. It's not in the natural realm. It is in the natural realm, and it puts us in contact with the spiritual. And the principles that are in here, in God's Word, are those that tell us about how the spiritual realm operates. Because this is our contact point with God, who is in the spiritual realm. It's a very phenomenal book. Very, very unique in what the Word of God accomplishes. And it is the standard for the spiritual realm, which is our new reality in Matthew chapter 21. Another principle, in this case I call it the principle, is faith, or believing. Matthew 21 and verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Your words spoken, spiritual result, backed up by the spiritual realm. You know, this is, and let's keep reading. And when the disciples, verse 20, saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and believe and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain. You know, at this point you read this, and all of a sudden, all that five senses understanding you've had your whole life before you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and even after, can come flooding in and saying, there's no way I could ever speak words and a mountain would actually move. Because you know what? In the natural realm, that doesn't work. Doesn't work. Even devil spirits use spiritual power to make those things happen. But if we have, if our five senses minds all of a sudden comes to the forefront, and we're going to base what we're reading here on what I hear, smell, taste, touch, or see, I am not going to be able to believe something like this. But if I recognize that these are the words of God, who, by the way, set in laws all the laws that we see around us, set in motion all the laws that we see around us, then I just might have the chance to think that something like this is possible. And Jesus Christ, say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. In 1 John chapter 5. So see, I was mentioning that there are different things and rules that apply in the spiritual realm. The Word of God is the authority of that realm. Believing and faith, or faith, is in that realm. In 1 John chapter 5, there's a very dangerous thing here that can happen if we're not careful. We'll just talk about it in a minute. But 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Pretty straightforward. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, remember, his will is what guides, it comes from what realm? Spiritual realm. God is spirit. Anything according to his will, he heareth us, and if we know that we hear us, he hear us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Why? Because God's word comes from God who is in the spiritual realm. And if he says something is available, then guess what? It's available. You can count on it. Now there's a real dangerous thing here, and that is that sometimes we confuse the believing of God's word with determination or discipline in the natural realm. Now, how many times have you heard people, whether they won an Olympic gold medal or you know, something like that, and they'll come up and say, well, this goes to show you that anything is possible. You know, anybody can win a gold medal, or anybody can win the, you know, the 100 meter dash, and anybody can win the Super Bowl or whatever. You know, they come up and they say, you can just follow your dreams. Anybody can do this. And that is a lie. That is not true. I guarantee you, I could not be the quarterback in a Super Bowl game. I could not do that. And the reason it's a lie is because when the people who say it, they just happen to win it. You never hear from the 100,000 people who were trying to win that thing. They never could do it because they just couldn't get there. We as believers, sometimes we mistake faith and believing for determination and discipline and all these things. That's not what it is. Believing is saying yes, sir, to what the Word of God says, and that's all it is. Now, when you say that to God's Word, it may take some determination and discipline and confidence and all those things that are associated, but it is not it, if you know what I mean. So for a guy to go up front and say, well, yeah, this means, you know, you can follow your dreams. I get what you're saying. There is no guarantee behind the words those people are speaking. Whereas the word of God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. Right? You can count on this. So when God says you can believe this, and you will get the results, that's the end of it. When a guy comes up front and says, you know, if you just lift 500 pounds a day and eat Wheaties and, you know, inject yourself with these, you're going to... No, that's not true. That's just nonsense. It's foolishness to even think it. But when it comes to God's word, yeah, you know. I mean, even the Philadelphia Eagles, wonderful. I'm so thankful that those guys are believers. Do you think there might be believers on the New England Patriots? Very, yeah. You know, so let's never mistake one for the other. The Word of God is the Word of God. What the Word of God promises, the Word of God will deliver if we believe it. And when we believe those very simple words, the power of God is behind them. Not the power of Dale Carnegie or the power of some gold medal winner. It's the power of God behind them. Big difference in Acts chapter 3, please. So the Word of God and believing. Wonderful realities. Acts chapter 3. Verse, I think we looked at it last week too, but just quickly read it again. In Acts 3, verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Faith in a name doesn't heal ankles in the natural realm, does it? Well, how about the spiritual realm? If you allow your five senses mind to determine what can happen, in this case here, to a man who hadn't walked for over 40 years, to say, "Well, that's not Paul, you know, I can't. You can't even get your mind around it if you limit it to what you understand of the natural realm. You just can't. But as soon as you understand that the Word of God doesn't work in that, it works, there's a spiritual realm. God's Word works in that realm. When God says that you can have believing in the name of Jesus Christ, who, by the way, is the living Word, it's always the Word, right? He's the living Word. You have confidence in that Word, the Lord, the name of the Lord here, ankle bones get healed. So, you know, you don't have to limit it to what you have understood your whole life before you became a believer. You can allow the Word of God to have supremacy in your thinking. Because this is promised by the Word. In Acts chapter 4, they were asked about it again. This is what we read last week, actually. Verse 9. "If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole." Wow, like, had never walked. How does that happen? You know, the same way when you believe in Romans 10:9 and you have Holy Spirit and you have eternal life and you're saved from the wrath, that's exactly how it happens. The same way. It's backed up by Jesus Christ. He doeth the works. I'm giving you the words. He doeth the works. It's backed up by God himself. It's his word. He will not fail his word. It's his word. He's behind it. In Acts chapter 27. I love this verse here in 27. A few verses. Acts 27. I think about this one a lot. I'm sure I've read it in fellowship enough times now. But like you said, Paul, a miserable death. Lots of death. Acts 27:20. "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." You know, this is a pretty dire situation. They thought they were going to die. "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve." Angels are sent by who? God. So when the angel's going to tell him something, whose words are they? God's words. Verse 24, "saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." There it is. There's the information coming from the spiritual realm laid out very simply. God says he's given them all. And what is Paul's response? "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." No. You can say that about every single promise that God's word makes. It shall be even just like God has told us. He's behind all of them. And if we try to reconcile, you know, we see it all the time, you know. People catch a cold and they go, "I know, 4 or 5 days it ought to go away." We talked about this before, you know. I hurt this or hurt that. I know that there's about a 2-week healing period. People say to me all the time, I hate listening to that conversation. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear this. When that man hadn't walked for 40 years, in a moment of time, he's jumping up and down. How does that happen? It happens because God is behind it. I don't want my confession to be what the world wants me to confess. You know, this is spirit, and these words are life. Am I going to believe that, okay, in 2 weeks I'll be fine? Or am I going to believe the life of Christ is also manifest in my body, just like His Word promises me? The choice is mine. Right? And I will be the result of whatever I choose to confess. That's what's going to happen. I think we've all experienced that in our lives. You confess this thing, you're going to get that thing. You confess the Word of God, and boy, you have the hope and blessing of getting exactly what God wants for you in your life. Why do I want to live my life according to the natural realm and the rules of the natural realm? Why would I want to ever do that? Right? And God's Word is here. It's like, I believe God that it's going to be just like He told me. I love that. We'll close in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, Paul came to Corinthians, right? He didn't just come speaking the word, did he? What did he say? He said, you know, I didn't come here just in the word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit. Jesus Christ told them, you guys err. You don't know the scriptures or the power of God. It's all together. The believing of His Word, the Word, the simple Word that God gave, and the believing of it, the faith to believe what it says, and to have no doubt that what the spiritual realm, God, in this case, I'm not looking at the other spiritual realm right now, we did that a little while ago, but to believe those very simple words and to receive the result that God's Word promises time after time after time after time. Should we ever stop thinking that way? Right? And we will. If we stay out of God's Word, we will stop thinking that way. I guarantee it. But when you go to God's Word, and you go to God's Word, you go, this is what it said. This is who I am in Christ. This is what Christ has made me to be. My real life is with Christ. That's where I live. And when we see those, then you start expecting the results that God's Word promises. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, it's the evidence of things not seen. The thing that results is not the evidence. Faith already is, because faith already is saying what the Word of God says. The healing isn't the evidence. Remember, the faith is the evidence. You always think the opposite, but you always think, well, when I see it, then I'll believe it. That's not how faith works. It's the evidence of things not seen. You believe it first, then you see it. Right? Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through believing, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The world, the ages were framed by the Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In verse 6, but without believing, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, number one, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, God is the one who calls those things which be not as though they were. Why can He do that? Because that is spiritual realm thinking. He could say to Jesus when He promised Jesus Christ the coming of the Messiah, He could say, it's done. He could rest. Hadn't come yet, had He? But He could say that. Right, because it's the Word, and the Word always comes to pass, always, always, always. But if we let our five senses, our natural thinking, the realm that everybody lives in, and that everybody around us, for the most part, every day we live, confesses things in, to rule our thinking and our believing and our confession, we're not going to cross the line the way that man did. 40 years old, jumps up, right? We're not going to get to the point to say, yeah, I believe it's going to be exactly the way the Word of God says. I'm going to do it for about an hour or two, and then I'm going to buckle and cave in, and I'm going to go the way of the five senses. It'll happen every time. But if we stand on this, And those men, they stood on this at the peril of their lives. They, men who have hazarded their lives for the name of Jesus Christ. It's worth that much commitment. Right. So, our new reality, since we got born again, and in fact, it was always a reality even when we weren't born again, because the spiritual realm has been here. But for us to enter the kingdom, enter that realm, and to have the rules that are now available for us to believe, the simple believing of the Word of God, backed up by God, and to have faith in that Word, to see the results that God's Word promises. Boy, it's a great privilege, great blessing, you know. And we heard in the manifestation, He won't let us fail. He's never going to let us fail, is He? So, God bless.